You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
That as they build this website and they're thinking about the one, that goes pretty deep because that one who doesn't go to church might be looking for a church, but they're also dealing with issues. They have stuff, baggage in their life. We call those felt need issues. And so I see a big pattern of churches really taking ownership and providing and putting content resources on their website because that's where people start with. They start with going to your website.
Welcome to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. My name is Bart Blair, and I'm the Executive Director of Missional Impact, which is a big, long title that we're trying to figure out what that actually means. And I am joined by my co-host, the CEO of Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Hamrock. We know what the CEO stands for, Chief Executive Officer.
Sure.
Which is why you wore a suit once, right? You did wear
a suit once. Yeah, there's a picture of me in a suit on our website somewhere. And I'm like, well, how did that get there?
So yeah, every CEO ought to have at least one suit. I'm a pastor. I have a suit. It's the one that I wear for weddings and funerals. I have to admit, I don't wear a suit very often. I'm not wearing a suit today, although I'm wearing a sweater. It's getting a little bit cool. We're in the fall season. And we are going to talk about some stuff today that hopefully you find very helpful as we shift from fall into winter and into a new calendar year. Now, if you're new to our podcast, we want to let you know that the reason that we produce this podcast is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. Today, we're going to be focusing on really what is probably the anchor or the centerpiece of most of your church communications, which is your church website. There are a lot of things that churches do and don't do, but by and large, we all recognize that a website is pretty critical to our movement, to our mission, and to the things that we're trying to accomplish. Jason, you have spent a better part of 2025. You've shifted around some of your roles and responsibilities here at Missional Marketing, but one of the things that you have spent a lot of time doing in the last year is working very, very closely with churches as they're developing new websites. You've had the privilege of working with some super creative people who are thinking about new and different ways to utilize their website. What we're going to do in this episode is we're going to talk about 10 things that you should do to refresh your website for 2025. That's the title of the podcast. Yep. But before we get to that, can you just kind of share with us some of the creative things that you're seeing churches do, or some of the conversations that maybe you're having that maybe some of our audience members might want to have internally about some of the things that they're doing with their website?
Yeah, that's great. This is a passion of mine. I love talking about websites. I kind of run that division of our companies. We build a lot of custom sites. And I'll tell you, the thing that I start off with churches when they want to hire us is I make two important statements. The first one is your website primarily should be focus on people who are not yet a part of your church, meaning we're going after the one ahead of the 99, and everybody who understands the Bible understands what I'm talking about when I say that. That's the first thing. So with that thought process, that's how we start building the website. The second thing is really important to understand. It's the only digital tool you actually own, your website. Nobody else can tell you what to say or put on your website except for you. You don't own YouTube. You don't own Facebook or Instagram. You don't even really own your email. Like, you have an email list, but people can choose to filter out and even get that email could even not get delivered, right? So the only digital asset you truly own is your website. And your app, you rent that unless you've built your own custom one. So those are two pretty important distinctives. Now, there's just some cool trends going on out there that I'm really excited about where people are going. And the thought is this, that as they build this website and they're thinking about the one, that goes pretty deep because that one who doesn't go to church might be looking for a church, but they're also dealing with issues, right? We're all sinful people. They have stuff, baggage in their life. We call those felt need issues. And so I see a big pattern of churches really taking ownership and providing and putting content resources on their website because that's where people start with. They start with going to your website. And not that social media and all that stuff is not important. It's really, really important. But the strategy is get people to your website because you get to control what goes on that content. So that's a really cool thing. Another thing that I've been seeing is the use of testimonies, personal testimonies. I'm a big, huge fan of this because if somebody gets to your website, they somehow, some way, we'll talk about that. What better picture to paint than stories of changed lives of people that are in your church? Because as the user, I could see myself in that story. Hey, if your church is growing, that tells me God is in your church and he's moving. If that's the case, changed lives are happening. Our job is to go find those changed lives, capture them, put them on the website.
Yeah, I would like to say this, and I've said it on our podcast before, and I say it with churches all the time, is that we need to stop thinking about our website as a brochure for the church, but as a ministry tool. And we actually have the ability to start new relationships on the website and actually begin discipling people through the content that we have on our website. And if we can shift our mindset in that regard, I think it really changes a lot about what we do and the way we do it and how we present ourselves. We're going to assume, and if you haven't looked at your Google Analytics lately, you should. And I bet you're going to find that probably 80 to 90% of the traffic to your website is typically going to be new visitor traffic. Whether you're running ad campaigns or it's purely organic, you're going to see that the bulk of the traffic is going to be new visitor traffic, which means you've got a lot of people coming to your website who are in decision-making mode. I'm trying to decide if your church is the right fit for me. So that being said, we're going to run through today quickly 10 things, like you and I ever do anything quickly. That's pretty funny. Yeah, we'll see how quickly this goes. Okay. 10 things that you should do to refresh your website in 2025. And the goal of this refresh, there are four reasons that I've penciled down here that I think your church website may need a refresh. One is to improve your external communication. Jason just hit on that, is that we think about the people who haven't yet connected with our church as the primary audience on that website. We want to do things that improve that external communication. The second thing is to increase engagement. It's not enough to just get people to the website. We want them spending time on the website, engaging with the content on the website. And ultimately, what we would love them to do is to self-identify on the website so that we can start a relationship with them. The third thing is to simply improve the user experience, right? And there are a lot of things that we can do to improve the user experience with layout and navigation and calls to action and things like that. So we definitely want the user to have a good experience, whether they're on desktop or mobile. And finally, which maybe this should have been number one, but I'll make it number four. It tends to be the one that falls lower on everybody's priority list, which is to enhance your SEO. Improve your search engine optimization so that more people can actually find your website. Now, I'm going to link in the show notes a podcast episode that we did earlier this year called SEO 101 with our colleague, Jason Collier. It was, I'd call it a masterclass, but it was just the tip of the iceberg as far as website SEO is concerned. SEO 101 for churches. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure that you do so that you can actually begin to develop some strategy around your SEO. Okay, let's get to the first thing. The first thing that you should probably do to refresh your website in 2025 is, actually, it's not starting even with your website. It's starting by doing what, Jason?
Well, it's kind of a 1A, 1B. Okay, so I'd say the first thing you want to do is figure out who your persona is that you're trying to reach. And if you say to me, well, we're trying to reach all people, then you're reaching nobody, right? So start by going, okay, well, who attends our church? Data. Be good to know. And then who are we trying to reach? You know, and so that's a persona. It could be a young family. It could be a middle-aged guy. It could be a middle-aged woman. Whoever you're trying to reach, figure out the persona, right? And start to put some bullet points. So I'll do this with a church. I'll say, you know, most churches, I'm just going to be general here. Most churches are trying to reach younger families. Yeah, you want to grow younger, not older. I mean, duh. You got to have a mix of everybody, but that's, so if you're trying to reach a younger, let's say a 30-year-old man who's got probably a wife and some kids, then you're going to put some bullet points around who that person, what they are about and who they are and they do, you know, what's their job and what do they like to do for hobbies and, you know, that kind of thing. So you start to figure out what this persona is. So do that first. Pretty easy. You can go Google on how to do that. Then what I think you should do is take a hard, hard look at your homepage. Spend some time looking at it and go, does the persona that we're trying to reach match? Would they look at that homepage and go, oh yeah, this is my jam. I want to check this out deeper. Or they go, nah, I'm out. Right. So that's a hard look. And then once you take a look at that hard look at your website, do yourself a favor. Just go visit 10, take about an hour, go visit like 10 websites, other church websites. Okay. Do five of them that are kind of around your community. I'd say within, you know, 10, 20 miles of your church, and wherever you are, you can figure that out. Just go see what they, what their homepage looks like. And then I would search for some of the top churches, one of the fastest growing churches in the country, and just go see what is it they put on their website. You know, of course, the website's not the reason they're the top growing church in the country. Okay, there's a lot more to that. But they got something going on, and we want to learn from the fastest growing churches. So, you know, do yourself a favor and do some homework and stare at that homepage, and then put together a game plan to update it.
Yeah, I think from when you're looking at other church websites, the thing that's important to note is that you can learn a lot from a structural standpoint from what other churches do and what you like on those websites. But you have to do your homework to know who your audience is. So, I, for instance, I know a pastor who is in Indiana, and their church, if they were explaining their persona to me, it's their target is a 35-year-old guy who drives a pickup, who hunts on the weekends, and who never misses a Notre Dame football game. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at your any of the content that you're creating, particularly your website, you put on the lenses of that guy and you go, there's too many pink flowers here. That guy is not going to be interested in that, right? Like everything about what you're communicating, if that's your persona, if that's your target, and it's a pretty specifically defined target. If that's who you're trying to reach, then you need to make sure that the copy that you write, the images that you show, and even the options that you offer in terms of first steps, next steps, and so forth are going to be something that resonates with that particular guy. So you're right, Jason. It's not just the homepage, really. It's the above the fold on the homepage. And when we say above the fold, it's what people see when they first log onto the website. Those first, first two or three things that catch their attention and catch their eye. And that's a good test for you. You know what? Pop your website in front of some people. Ask some of your friends who've never been to your church website, maybe a neighbor, maybe a colleague, maybe an old college buddy, and say, would you look at my website and you tell me the first five things that you see that stick out to you?
And good, bad, or ugly.
Just tell me the first five things that stick out to you. And I think that you'll get some really positive feedback there.
And when we build a new website, church hires us, that's the first thing we want to do is go, okay, let's talk about who your target audience is, because that really sets the tone for everything on this new build.
Yeah. Okay. First thing is evaluating your homepage and working on improving things there. The second thing in our list of 10 things to do is to update photos. Jason, talk a little bit about the importance of photos.
Well, the church is not a building. It's you. It's me. It's us. And so the church is full of people. And so when I go to a website and I don't see very many pictures of people, I sort of go, who goes to this church? Are those my people? Why would I want to come to this church? I don't even know if anybody goes to this church. So photos are incredibly important to add to your website. And, you know, good photos. Like you put in here a little, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? Absolutely. If I see somebody who looks depressed, I don't want to be a part of that. So don't put that picture on your website, duh. I'd want to see a picture of somebody smiling, maybe even, you know, a couple of ladies hugging or a guy giving a high five to another guy. That, okay, I want to be a part of that community. So sharing and showing photos is incredibly important. And I think we miss that. We stick it on social media and we're pretty good about doing that. But for some reason, we just think, oh, the website, why would we put that on the website? So photos are incredibly important.
Let me double click on that. I think actually a lot of churches will put photos on their website, but they focus on photos of the band and people worshiping and the pastor preaching.
Wow, that's true.
Which doesn't communicate, in my opinion, it doesn't communicate enough about the ethos of the church community itself. You know, I've said this in I don't know how many podcast episodes and how many conversations that I've had with churches over the last year, because I think it was last fall that I heard Amy Chaney, who's on Kem Meyer's team, say that people are not going to choose your church because you have a great drummer or a great fog machine or a really cool looking stage set. They're going to choose your church when they see the eyes of people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. And that goes to your point there, Jason, is we want people are asking one question, and that is, will I fit in? And by seeing pictures of the people in your church community, when they're in decision-making mode, if they see people that look like them, number one, it gives them a sense that there's a place for them in that community. But the other thing that we want them to see is that we have something that they want, which is hope, right? And you're right. We want people to look at the eyes of people in our church family who have had that life-changing experience with Jesus. And we want people to look at that website and go, man, I not only want to be with those people, I want to figure out what it is that they have so I can be a part of that community and have whatever it is they have, right? So to me, that's really important. And just so having an ongoing strategy of photography in your church is really, really critical. We've got other episodes that we've recorded on building volunteer teams in your ministry and finding photographers and people that can shoot photos for you. Because I know that a lot of comms directors feel the pressure of that because they just don't. They're the one who knows how to use the DSLR camera, but they don't have time on Sundays to do it or other events and activities. And there are some strategies that you can employ to get other people contributing to that.
Yeah, just one other thought. We're working with this church and they're more of a, you know, they have the traditional service thing going on. They've said to me multiple times, we're not a rock and roll church. Great. Yeah, awesome. That's okay. Again, you're growing, right? Yeah, we're growing. God's doing something in your church. Focus on the people, not on just the experience. You want to have the experience. Like if that's so there's not
a thing. I had a church tell me that they weren't a rock and roll church, but the picture on their homepage was of the worship band. It was the picture of the picture
just
on their homepage.
Who you are. Be authentic.
So I asked the pastor, I'm on a call with him. I'm like, you're telling me that you don't want your church to be known for the worship experience. Yet the first thing I see when I come to the website is a picture of your band.
The worship experience.
And he was like, caught me. You're right. We need to fix it. And they did. They updated it. Let's move on to the next one. And you've already hit on this a little bit when you were talking about trends. Yeah. I'm going to read a Bible verse first. We don't do enough Bible verses. We should do more Bible verses on here. Okay. Proverbs 27:2 says, let the lips of another praise you, not from your own mouth. In other words, let someone else say good things about you. You don't always have to be the one to say good things about you. Now, what's number three on our list here, Jason?
Yeah,
that you need to do on your website.
Either add or update your testimonials. And I'll tell you, you should have a section for it. And I love doing this stuff. So we're building another website for a church. And I think it's Journey Church. There's like a billion of them. So you don't know who I'm talking about. But we, in our section in the website, we say, check out people's journey. Right, because they're a Journey Church, and we have a like one, and they're all kind of they're vertical, so they look like they're like, you know, YouTube shorts, you know, and so they're just stories, and we have a first story, then we have three or four stories you can scroll through, and we have a title about each one. Meet, you know, Maya, who overcame a divorce as a single mom. Okay, and you see Maya, she's smiling, and she just shared her story. How many other moms are watching, looking at that going, I want to be a part of that. She found hope and answers. I can too. Yes. Then the next one's Jeff, who overcame an addiction. Next one is Bill and Kathy, who came to faith later in life. Like you tell these stories because they're happening in your church. And then other people who can relate and resonate with that story can find hope. And I'll tell you, That's huge. You should be a story collecting machine of people that their lives are being changed.
Let me add two little side notes to that before we move on to the next one. The first one is this: personal testimonials are evergreen. There's no expiration date on the gospel having changed somebody's life. So when I know that it's a lot of effort and a lot of energy to collect the stories and to record the videos and get all that on there, but those can have a pretty long shelf life on your website. So it's not, although it would be great to be regularly and continuously getting new stories, here's the reality. If we're considering that the primary reason for these testimonials is to go on your website and the new visitor traffic is who we're trying to get to watch those testimonials. You have new visitors every single week who are watching those videos for the first time. So it doesn't mean you need to replace those videos every 2 months or every 3 months or even weekly, right? Maybe on your social media accounts, you need to, if that's what you want to have in part of your regular social media rhythm, then it's going to be a little bit more intensive. But if you're talking about gathering 4 or 6 or 8 testimonials to go on your website that can live there for a season in the life of your church, it's very, very well worth the investment. Here's the other thing. Your video testimonials do not have to look like I Am Second videos. They don't have to be highly produced in a studio, over the top, amazing, production quality videos. They can literally be cell phone, iPhone videos. Just make sure the audio is good. Invest in a small portable Bluetooth lapel microphone. I bought one a couple of weeks ago for like $40 on Amazon, and it works great. And it just plugs right into my phone, gives me a little lapel mic. And it's not fancy, but it records really good audio. People will be much more forgiving of bad video or semi high quality video than they are bad audio. If they can't hear, they can't understand what the person is saying, or it's difficult to follow. That's where you lose people. But don't overthink it. Literally, just get people to share their story. And if you have a hard time getting people to share their story, then develop your interviewing technique and learn to ask people questions. Ask them good questions.
Get them open-ended questions.
My wife made a statement about this. Actually, it was my mother. My mother made a statement about this last week. We were talking about a lady that we'd met who was kind of shy, but super friendly. And my mother said, you know, all you have to do is just ask people questions about themselves, because everybody loves to talk about themselves. And she's right. Like, it's pretty easy. If you ask people to talk about themselves and share their story, if you ask the right questions, oftentimes they will. They will.
You know, and
you have to do some editing and post-production to make it all a cohesive story, but you can develop your interviewing skills. Okay. Add or update testimonials on your website. That's number three. Number four, I wrote this one down. I hope you're following me on this one, Jason. Review and rewrite all page copy, every page, and change as many we's to us as you can. You know what
perfect
I mean by
example.
That?
Right. Perfect example. Go to your homepage. Do you have your mission statement on your homepage? Change it. I'm not saying change your mission statement. Change the words. We exist to reach the world for Christ, going to all nations. What kind of person doesn't go to church, goes, well, I don't really care about that. Instead, rewrite it to say, we want to help you connect with Jesus to change your family and have a life that God, you know, wants you, you know, desires for you, or something like that, right? Make it about the user, not about us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys all understand what I'm saying there. Yeah. And let me words should be about you, not we.
Let me give you another example. Go to your middle school ministry page, assuming you have a middle school ministry.
Okay.
And your middle school ministry page probably says, we have middle school on Sunday mornings at 9:30 to 11, run by our middle school leaders. And we offer this, and we do this, and we do this, and here's the calendar, and here's how you can volunteer to serve in our middle school ministry. How about turning that around and saying, you are raising kids at one of the most critical times in their life. You have concerns about the media that they're exposed to, the friends that they choose, and the future that God has in store for them. Yeah. We're here to help you raise your kids to be Jesus-centered, godly citizens of planet Earth, right? So you're speaking.
You.
So now that parent gets on that page and they go, oh my gosh, you get me. You get how hard it is to raise a sixth grader or seventh grader or eighth grader, right? You get this. You understand. You're speaking the language that is my pain point. So I'm going to trust you as a church to help me overcome the challenges that I'm having as a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, in a lot of ways, this is somewhat out of, you know, the story brand framework.
Donald Miller.
Build a story brand. It's somewhat out of the story brand framework, which is just speak to the person and speak like a missionary. Understand their language, know the language that they're using, and speak to them in their language. Number five, add lead generation to your plan your visit page, children, and student ministry pages. Lead generation. If you've been following our podcast for 5 minutes, you know that Jason and I are really, really big on lead generation. Jason, what are some ideas and some things that you see churches doing with lead gen and the purpose of lead gen on some of these pages that we know are going to be some of the more popular pages on the website?
Yeah, it's really, really important to talk about that, because speed is so important to connect with people. So if somebody gets on and fills out a form on your website, you don't want to respond in a week, right? I had to, I'm a little annoyed because we've got a staff thing coming up, and I reached out to this restaurant, and it said on the, we will get back to you within 24 hours. Took them 3 days. I'm a little annoyed by that. You told me 24 hours and it took them 3 days. Okay. Church, we have the most important mission on the planet. And when people go to our website and they fill out a form, we need to be right away back to them right away. So I'm a huge fan of putting, like Bart said, some kind of a lead gen. A lead gen is another fancy word for a form, right? Maybe it's an exchange of information, or maybe it's just, I need some help. Here's my prayer request, or I need to talk to a pastor. You better have something that gets to them right away. Right away. Automated response. Or perhaps I'll give you my name, my email, even my mobile for a download of some sort, because I've got a pain point. Like Bart was saying, I've got a sixth grader who's out of control. I could totally use those five steps to change your sixth grader today. You know, like, you have a PDF on that? Where can I get my hands on that? I'll give you my name and email, my information. There's an exchange of information, right? We, you know, the marketplace does amazing at this because they're trying to get you to sign up for a credit card or insurance or whatever it is. They make it so easy and they are quick because they understand that that lead is hot. And so we're not even doing an exchange of, you know, credit cards or anything like that. Online giving happens on a different platform, but these are forms that people fill out, and we need to make sure that we automate them quicker and be thinking about what is it we're offering them. So as you said, like on the plan of visit, don't ask for 27 points to register kids and everything. Just ask for a simple name, email, and a mobile, and we'll send you some information about planning your visit this weekend. And in that, you can say, hey, thanks, we're so excited to see you this weekend. If you got kids, click here, and you can go ahead and pre-register your kids with a separate email or a text message.
Yeah.
So I think just the key there is leads. Leads, leads, leads. Leads are so important because there's a lot of competition going on, and we really want to make sure we respond really, really well and quickly. And if you think through that, you can have almost a lead gen on every page, a lead generator on almost every page of your website.
Yeah. I want to focus for just a second on what types of content I like to see in lead generation. It should add value. So putting a form on your plan of visit page that says, let us know you're coming, while in theory, it is a lead generator, I don't know why in the world I'd ever fill that out. But if you say, fill out this form and we'll send you a pre-visit email with everything that you need to know about your first visit, maybe I'm interested. I had one church that showed me something they were working on. It was like, five things you must do when visiting a church for the very first time. Ooh, that's kind of interesting. It got my attention. It's a little ebook.
I wonder what they're going to tell me.
Right? Like, well, you know, and it's how to, and what's cool is that the lead generator doesn't really have anything specific about that church. It just kind of gives you some guidance on how you can have a great first experience or really get to know the church well to decide if the church is the right fit for you. On your children's ministry page, you know, Jason already mentioned, like, you know, five things that you can do with your sixth grader today to help them survive another week or whatever.
Help you survive another week.
Yeah. Five devotionals you can do with your kids at dinner this week. You know, they're all on your giving page. I'd love to see churches use the giving page more with some stewardship guidance, right? Top 10 passages that Bible teaches devotionals based on passages the Bible talks about managing your money, staying out of debt, and being a good steward with your resources, right? Offer something of value. And to your point, Jason, an effective and quick and timely and relevant response is really important, right? Sweet. Don't just put people in your newsletter and start sending them your weekly newsletter when they fill out the form. The follow-up should be relevant to it. I'll tell you an experience I had last year. I think I ran across an article or something that was written and posted by Salesforce. Salesforce is a software company it's a client management software. And it was an article about lead generation. And I was like, ooh, I want this PDF. So I downloaded it. I got a phone call within an hour from somebody at Salesforce wanting to verify that I'd received the download and to see if I had any questions. I'm like, holy smokes,
that's good on customer it, service right, like right
within
there.
Within an hour. Now, it required my phone number. And it was like, whoo, that caught me off guard a little bit. I wasn't expecting that. But in all fairness, I gave them my name, my email address, and my phone number. And I should have very well expected that Salesforce was going to follow up with me. Because
I mean, imagine if somebody fills out a form that says they're going to plan a visit and they got a call on Monday morning just from somebody saying, hey, I don't know if you attend or not, but we want to pray for you. Anything we can pray about?
Yeah.
You just show you care.
Yeah.
And that's ministry. And that's exactly what we should be doing with these four. We're trying to gain leads just to gain leads. We're gaining leads because we want to impact their life. We want to start
a relationship, right? You're exactly. Starting the relationship with them and trying to build trust so that they'll try your church.
Relationship and trust.
I have a number of churches that have used the pre-visit email. Fill out this form, we'll send you a pre-visit email. All of them say that they regularly, consistently get those forms. However, many of them will say that a lot of those forms come early on Sunday mornings. So people aren't filling it out until like services at 10 or 10:30 and they're filling it out like 8:30 or 9. So you oftentimes don't have the opportunity to have a human follow-up. You need an automated system. So connecting that with some sort of content management system or MailChimp or something where you get an automated follow-up is probably going to be critical. Okay, well, we need to keep rolling here. Number six, improve speed and page load time. This goes back to SEO 101. If your website is slow, it's going to hurt both the user experience and it's going to hurt your SEO. You want to speak to that a little bit?
Well, yeah, people will bounce if it takes too long to load. How do you know if it's slow loading? Well, reach out to us. We'll run an audit for you and tell you how fast or slow it is, and then give you the game plan for how you need to optimize it. But it is a thing. You've got to really deal with that.
Yeah. If your website is more than 2 or 3 years old, it's just like an automobile. A car needs an oil change and needs to have hoses and belts and things, changed and replaced from time to time. And over time, a website can start to get a little bit sluggish because you get bloated code or you have images that aren't optimized that you've updated or videos you've added to the website that slow things down, or you have links that are broken that cause the whole thing to load slowly. And the search engines know that, and you're likely to get less less engagement there. And also the user experience is poor. And it could be that there are technical problems on your website, or it could be that your web host is slow. And I worked with another ministry that this last year, after spending money trying to speed up our website, realized that our problem was our website host.
It's a shared server.
Yeah, and it's a hassle to move the website from one host to another, but it changed our page load speed from like 4 seconds for the homepage to like half a second for the homepage. You want to talk about a huge change in user experience. That was a very, very big deal for us. Number seven, develop and implement a content strategy from either sermons or ministries or both. You want to talk about this a little bit?
I can spend an hour on this, so I'm going to go quick. You guys are content machines, church. You create content every single week. Your pastor gets up and preaches for 30 minutes, tons of content. You got ministries creating content. The problem with it is you're not adding that to your website. Okay. Google's not crawling the YouTube video that's playing on your website as SEO for your website. You put it on YouTube because YouTube's the second large search engine. But what you should be doing is maybe on your sermon page, for example, have that sermon, right? You click and you can watch that sermon, but take that transcript from that sermon, use an AI tool, lots of them out there. Sermon Spark, go to Sermon Spark.
SermonSpark.ai. We'll link to that.
SermonSpark.ai. It's free. You can go add your video, get the transcript. You add that transcript either word for word to your website, or you put it into an AI to say, hey, Claude or ChatGPT, take this, 4,000 word transcript that our pastor just preached. And will you narrow that down to about like 800 words and it'll do it like that for you.
By the way, you can do that in Sermon Spark as well. That's another feature in Sermon Spark. You can get a long summary. I think it's probably about 800 to 1,000 words. Yeah. Or turn it into a blog that's like a readable article. Yeah. I think one of the things that churches do struggle with is a consistent strategy for adding new content to the website. We treat a sermon that has been preached as if it is something in the past and we're moving on to the next thing. Most churches, you're sitting on just mountains and mountains of great content, whether it's felt need or spiritual questions or things that would be helpful for people. And I would just say, hey, why don't you start in 2025 with saying, we're going to write 12 articles this year. We'll commit to doing one a month and either have it be something related to a ministry in your church, marriage ministry, grief ministry, parenting, something of that nature, or an article that's based on a sermon or a sermon series. I've got a church in Wichita, Kansas that had like 4 or 5 people contribute to it. They did that this past year. They wrote 12 articles so that they could post one a month for the 12 months. They had 3 or 4 different people contribute to it. So it was basically, you know, each person wrote like 3 different articles or 4 different articles. So it wasn't a heavy load for one person to do. And of course, with AI today, with Claude, ChatGPT, or Gemini, writing this type of content has never been easier. The long-term benefit is search engine optimization. Write the content, optimize it for search, but you're also adding valuable resources to your website that will increase engagement. People will stay on the website longer, watching the videos, reading the articles, and those sorts of things, which helps your SEO and the user experience. Next, number 8, update your staff page, photos and videos and more. Jason, what kind of do you like to do on a staff page?
Well, new people want to go, they want to learn about the pastor. Who is this guy? You know, what's he have to say? What's he like? You know, does he hold snakes? I mean, what does this guy do? So you have a staff page where you actually have a bio of your lead pastor, maybe even a video that says, hey, here's who I am. Here's my family. You know, I want something for you. I don't, you know, it's not about me. It's about you, kind of a thing, right? But I really like having the staff on there so that people can get connected and know who is the person that's in charge of junior high ministry and how do I get a hold of them? And so I tell you, like you look at analytics, usually staff pages are in the top 5 most visited page on your website. And so be mindful about what you're putting on that so people can get connected to your staff and maybe even learn about your staff.
Yeah, I love videos. It humanizes the staff. One of the questions that I believe most people are asking when they come to a new church website is who's in charge and can I trust him? You know, we're living in a day and age where every other week there's a pastor in the news for all the wrong reasons. And whether I'm a Christian person or a pre-Christian person, I'm asking the question about who the pastor is and is he trustworthy? And just having his picture and his email address and his title, senior pastor, on the website does not do enough to help people. I love a bio, a video, his own personal faith story. Humanize him, demonstrate that he or her are, you know, that they're trustworthy leaders and that they are, you know, that they're interested in the individual who is on that page. Do that as much as you can. And, you know, I just think it's good and fun to update the staff pages from time to time with good photos. You know, use photos that are high quality, that show your staff in their best light, and tell a little bit about those staff people. I just think it makes for more engagement on the page. Yeah. Number 9, we're down to the last couple here. Review meta descriptions and H1, H2 headings on every page.
Yeah, this goes to SEO, search engine optimization. We'll just be brief on this, but every page needs to have a meta description. Jason, what is a meta description? Go Google your church's name right now. Go to Google, type in your church name, hit enter. You're going to see hopefully at the top, your name's going to be in like, you know, like blue or whatever, the name of your church. Right under that's going to be a sentence or two. That is the meta description. And you may not know this, but you can tell Google what you want your meta description to be. If you don't inform Google what you want your meta description to be, they will pull what they think the bots think they should pull. They'll just look at content and just pull it. Could be just a bunch of garble. You know, it doesn't make any sense, like service times and then just as your address or something like that. But you should have a meta description that actually speaks to the person, you. We want to invite you and your family to come and experience Jesus. We have a lot for you. We can't wait to meet you this weekend. That's a meta description right there. Put your name. I always say put the name, you know, First Baptist Church in my city, Arizona, whatever. I'm in Arizona right now. But if you add your name and your city and state, you localize it. So every page should have its own custom meta description based on what that page is about. So the kids page should be something about kids. Outreach should be about outreach. About us. Homepage, make it more elevator about who we are.
Yeah.
So you can download this great tool. It's called SEO Meta in one click. It's a Google Chrome plugin. I use Google Chrome. Downloads free. And when I'm on my page, I click on that and I can see the meta description, the title, the H1, H2s. Those are just headings. H1 and H2 are headings. Like the headings on your, on those pages. Google pays a lot of attention to those headings. They pay a lot of attention to a lot of stuff, meta description, the title, and the headings. And then, of course, the probably one of the biggest things is content. If Google can, if you can highlight content on your page, Google can crawl it. And so you really want to pay attention to that. We actually have a podcast, Bart, where we went into this earlier this year, where we took a deeper dive into SEO, didn't we?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that and link that in the show notes. You know, the meta description, you just to make sure this is clear, Jason said this, I'll reiterate it. Every single page on the website should have its own unique meta description. Yep. And a lot of churches will just have one that carries and over from every page. So write a meta description for every page. If you're using a WordPress website, every page that you can go in and edit, if you've got the Yoast plugin, you can go and edit the meta description in Yoast. If you're using a Squarespace website, you do have to kind of click on the little gear on every page and go in and update the SEO information. It doesn't actually say meta description. I think it says SEO description, but that's essentially what the meta description is. And then your H1 and H2 headings, you know, clarity is more important than creativity with your H1 and H2 headings. If you think about the H1 and the H2 using language and terminology that you think people are searching, it will help the search engine and it'll help people find your pages. If your children's ministry is called like Ultra Super God Kids and that's your H1 heading, nobody's searching that. But if your church is First Baptist Phoenix and you've got kids ministry in your H1 heading is children's ministry at First Baptist Phoenix, guess what? Somebody might actually be Googling that. But they're not
looking for something. They're
not Googling Ultra Super God Kids or whatever I said there. I don't know. So be clear. Think about the H1 as the title, the H2 as subtitles or descriptions. If you have a cool name for your student ministry or your children's ministry, use that in the H2 and the H3 headings. Don't use it in the H1. Make the H1 really clear about what the content is on the page. Okay, next one. Number 10. This is something I didn't discuss with you. I put it on the list and we'll see what you think about this. Add social proof with social media integration on your website. You have any idea what you mean by that? Okay. So this is something that I've seen some more churches doing. I've actually been experimenting with this at our church plant as well. And that is, I'm constantly adding content to my social accounts, to Facebook and to Instagram and to YouTube. There are plugins that you can use in WordPress or Squarespace or Wix or whatever your platform is, where you can actually have the content from your social channels show up on your website. You can actually have like a container on the homepage of the website that has like your last four or your last eight Instagram posts or Instagram videos. I love this idea because number one, it's adding new content to your website on a regular basis. It's stuff that's happening actively, relevantly in real time in your church. So it gives you the ability to say, we just had a baptism service and we've got these photos from our baptism we just posted on Instagram. Guess what? Those just all hit that container on the homepage of your website. And you didn't have to add photos to the website. You're merely just posting to your social channels. It will get people to click from your website over to your social channels. So hopefully they'll follow your social channel so that they can be a little bit more engaged with you there. And so, you know, you have to kind of decide whether or not this is the right fit for you. I think a lot of churches that do super, super well on social are missing the opportunity to integrate their social with their website itself. I just think it's a great way to be continuously adding new content to the website without having to actually add new content to the website.
Well, you know, you get a lot of new visitors to your website. It'll help them discover your social channels.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give you one bonus thing because you know what? At the time that you and I are recording this, we are in crazy times with Christmas. Churches are launching Christmas ad campaigns. We're pushing into Christmas 2025. And this is something that I just recently had a realization of. And that is many, many churches I work with create a Christmas landing page and an Easter landing page for those two big events in the year. And when Christmas is over and Easter is over, they unpublish those pages. They literally just go in and remove them from the website.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest that you leave your Christmas and Easter pages up 24/7, 365, primarily for SEO purposes. Yeah. If you create a Christmas landing page and you take it down after Christmas, when you have to create another one or repost it again next year, you've completely missed out on any opportunity of that page being indexed, by the search engines.
Yeah.
So you get zero organic reach when people are searching for Christmas activities or Christmas at your church the following year. You're completely dependent on advertising content. What I would do is create your Christmas page, create your Easter page, and then when the season is over, go to that page and just do an update and say, Christmas 2025 was amazing. For those of you that celebrated it, we're glad you're here.
Or 2024.
Or 2024. We're looking forward to Christmas 2025. Check back here next year for updates on all of our events and activities. And then just leave that page online. You can hide it. It can be an orphan page. You don't have to have it in your menu or your nav bar. It doesn't have to be. But leave it online so that the search engines can crawl it, index it. And then next year, you might actually get some organic traffic when people are searching for Christmas services or a church that is doing special Christmas events, especially if you have activities like a live nativity. I've got churches I work with that have a live nativity every single year. And there are people every year Googling live nativity, but because they take that page down every year, they get no organic traffic from it. They're completely dependent on advertising traffic. Advertising traffic is good, and we always want to take advantage of that. But if you can get free traffic through organic reach, why wouldn't you? So don't unpublish those pages. Leave them online. Update them after the holiday. What's any thoughts on that, Jason? That's your bonus for 2020.
Your bonus.
Okay. There's your bonus. Any parting shots for our audience here?
Well, Jake? No, if you guys are interested, if you're in the season of thinking about rebuilding your website, schedule a call. I'd love to talk with you about that, only to give you some tips and go, hey, here's what you might want to consider as you're thinking about rebuilding this website. Cause we do build a lot of websites. So I'd love to give an estimate and, maybe you guys hire us to do it. But I think more importantly, I like to do audits, and I'll do a screaming frog crawl of your website. That means that you'll just see all your pages, so you know what you're walking into. And I do that often for churches because I really want them, if they hire us or not, I want them to be building a tool that's going to help them accomplish their mission of reaching more people for Jesus. So go to our website.
I'll link into the show notes, our contact form where you can actually self-schedule a call.
With me.
You know what? You can schedule a call with any of the people that you see there. There's one guy who's wearing a suit.
That's me.
You can schedule a call with a guy wearing a suit. And if you want to, you can request that he wears a suit if and when you meet with him. I don't know whether he will or not. Maybe there's a Zoom filter for that. I don't know. A Zoom filter to put a suit on. You can schedule a call with me. You can schedule a call with Nick or Zach, somebody on our team that would be happy to meet with you to do a website audit with you and just talk about your best strategies for 2025. If you happen to be one of our existing missional marketing partners, and just talk to your coach about it. And, I'm happy to get on a call with you and your coach if I'm not your coach. And we can just talk about best strategies. We just want to help you. We want you to leverage your website for all it's worth to reach more people for Jesus. And we're just hopeful that 2025 will be a banner year for you and your church. If, as we promised, we were going to do this quickly, we did it in under an hour. That's about all I can say. Thanks again for tuning in to the Missional Marketing Podcast. We know you have lots of options about the way that you spend your time. And the fact that you have let Jason and me invade your airwaves, your ear pods, or whatever it is, we appreciate that. If you haven't subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, make sure that you do that. And if you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe to the channel, but also leave us a comment. Give us some feedback. Love to engage with you there on the YouTube channel. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.